I mean, my dad, he used to play a game with me where he would kind of like lie in wait, like in ambush in hallways in our house, like around a corner in our house. This sounds like abuse. I gotta say, it was not abuse. We have a good relationship. He's a good man. But he would, I was a kid, and he would pop out and just like incapacitate me in some way and be like, how do you get out of it? You always gotta be prepared. So
I love that so much. Him just popping around a corner and being like, should have been ready. You should have been ready. Now you're caught.
So it was always some real, like, you know, behind the Domino's Pizza style, like karate moves he was teaching me. They were not real karate, because then when I did go to a real karate class and tried to show them my quote unquote self-defense, they were like, what is this ghetto shit?
It's like, you can't just bite a man's inner thigh, Tawny. That's not karate. That's just a thing your daddy said to do.
That's just street fighting from the 60s, Tawny.
Yeah, there it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we've dived deep, deep, deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories, and we work to finally find out Oprah's favorite flavor of orphan blood. Which orphan does she like to drink the most? Personally, I think she likes Icelandic orphan blood. That would be my guess. I know you're going to say, well, Oprah clearly hates the Black community. She would obviously drink the blood of small Black children. Of course she does. But the truth is, Oprah wants something exotic. She wants to taste that rare blood. And there's nothing rarer than a little Icelandic baby without a family. That's what Oprah's into. That's the rumor I'm spreading. Hey, it's me. It's your host, Langston Kerman, as always. I don't know why I talk like this. It's a complicated algorithm that turned me into the person I am today. But you know who's not a trash person? You know who doesn't talk like an insane person constantly? It's my guest today. She's fantastic. You know her from Space Force. You know her from Star Trek Lower Decks. You know her from... She basically has a monopoly on all Black lady space stuff at this point. She's hilarious. You love her. You know her. Give it up for Tawny Newsome, everybody.
Thank you, my adoring public.
Yes, you're adoring. They're here. They adore you. How are you?
They showed up. I'm good. I'm good. That's the opposite of what I told you when I logged into the Zoom. Off mic, I think I said, I'm all right.
Sure.
And then on mic, I go, I'm good.
You turned it up for the audience. You were like,
yeah.
You were a completely different person behind the scenes. You got a real Ellen DeGeneres vibe about you at this point, given the shift, if you will.
But I flip it. I'm a monster for everything public facing. And then in private, I'm very kind and sweet.
Sure.
Yeah. So shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up and watch me dance real mad to this music.
Speaking of music, this theme song is perfect. Perfect.
Oh, thank you so much. It was done by a hilarious comedian and very talented man. I always say he's the most talented person I know. This guy, Nick Chambers, who's a comedian out in New York now. And I resent him very much for having so many gifts. He did the artwork for our show. He did the music for our show. And he has all the hatred that's bubbling in my heart for the skills that I don't have.
Sure. But it's good to have someone like that in your corner rather than against you.
Sure. Exactly. He is like a member of the Expendables for me. You know what I mean? He's my Sylvester Stallone, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that movie. It's a movie?
Sure.
It's a show? Is it comic book?
It's three movies. It's a powerful franchise at this point.
Wow, I have been asleep on that. I'm sorry. I didn't know what that
sure.
was.
Sure. And to be honest, you didn't come here to talk Expendables. That's a different podcast.
I would have turned that down. I would have said, I can't. I'm busy. I can't do it. I'm so sorry. Just because I didn't know. Not because I have anything against it. I don't know it.
Sure. Good for you for having that level of self-control where you're like, I'm going to step out of this one, guys. This isn't for me. I'd have signed up and been like, yeah, let's talk. I don't know. I'll try my best. Yeah. I'm excited to get, and excited feels like almost the wrong phrasing here, but I am eager to get into the conspiracy theory that you sent our way, because it, I would say it's a pretty heavy one. It's a sturdy conspiracy theory to be digging into. But you said, my mama told me.
Birth control trials in Africa are being used for mass sterilization.
It is heavy. Hearing it out loud feels different than when you just type some stuff and go, hey, can we talk about this?
Sure.
Hearing it out loud, I'm like, ooh, birth control trial. Ooh, sterilization. Ooh, Africa. These are big words. These are big ideas. This is deep shit we're talking about. Yeah, so this one walks the line of, like, I don't know how much conspiracy theory it really is. Just or is it just, like, a little bit of extrapolation on facts? Because the facts are that they did, you know, test drugs like Depo-Provera, which women my age might know as, like, the birth control shot, which was available, I think, in the 90s. I don't know. They tested that on women in then called Rhodesia, I guess, Zimbabwe in the 70s. And the women were coerced into taking it. You know, they were asked to take it in exchange for things they needed, like food and water and medical supplies and stuff. So it wasn't, you know, the trials weren't on the up and up, to say the least. And then there was also, there was the other one, Norplant. They used to test that out on women. But, you know, all these women had these massive side effects and a lot of women became sterile. And it's not that far of a jump to be like, so this is a whole continent where for centuries, missionaries and well-meaning whites have been going down there and being like, oh, the African people, such a vibrant people, you know, the whole monolith, the whole continent, what a vibrant people. But if they could only control their population, they can't even feed these children, you know? And so there's
if we could just get these savages to maybe produce just a little less.
Oh, the baskets they make. They make such beautiful baskets. Just fewer children. Let's sneak some shit into their morning breakfast, you know, like... It's not that far-fetched. I have no proof. So this is a reckless theory.
No, and let's start right from where you started, right from the beginning. I think when I originally read your conspiracy theory, I was like, okay, this is just true. is just like, and again, my brain is filled with nonsense. So I immediately was like, fact, what are we doing? This is, she doesn't know how conspiracy theories work.
Right.
But I do think that, to your point, it sort of is one of those things that is hedging both truth and conspiracy theory. That, like, the truth is that these trials are 100% real. The question is, what was the intention behind these trials? Was it, in fact, for population control, or was it just like, oh, y'all were trying some stuff out and it went awry?
Right. You were just trying some shit out on people you felt like were expendable, basically, which is sinister in and of itself. And that is definitely what happened. So even the truth is real dark and fucked up. You're welcome for me picking this one. And the conspiracy theory is like fucking, you know, villainous and sinister.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just fully believe it. I feel like I don't even need, this is one of those dangerous ones where I'm just like, I don't even need proof. I hear it.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're trying to kill us all.
And that's the hard ones to sort of wrestle with, right? Is like, even if in some conversation with a person, they were like, well, actually, this is the true thing behind what you're saying, or here's some facts you may not have considered. There's still a part of you that's like, no, motherfucker, I know.
Right.
You could try to trick me all you want into thinking that, like, white people had a moral ground in their approach to giving drugs to people who didn't realize they were taking these kinds of drugs or this severe of a drug. But no, you know what you were doing.
You know what you were doing. Because this shit was like the 70s. Like, yes, it's been going on long before that. But this specific birth control shit, this is the 70s. You know where else you could have tested out your brand new fangled birth control drug? Boston, bitch.
Yep.
Like, try it out in Massachusetts. And see how women do.
You got this white ass state, Maine, filled with toothless hillbillies. You could test it on them. Why'd you go all the way to Zimbabwe?
I love Maine. Shout out to Maine. No, but
okay,
truly.
My bad. I didn't realize that's where your fan base was located.
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of hits and streams from Maine. no, but truly, if it's all innocent, there's people everywhere. You could get white women from, you know, all kinds of places. You can get all kinds of colors of women. You don't have to go to a whole ass continent that has been tested on for centuries. I don't know, but this is the sort of thing that like makes me wary of trying out anything. Like,
yeah,
the COVID vaccine trial. No.
Dog.
No, I'm waiting like 5 years.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you right there.
So that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. I'm terrified. I'll be honest. I'm terrified of that vaccine. And not because I think, to your point, I think I want to take it, right? Like, I want to be free of whatever this is. Boy, would I love to get back to doing stand-up and being out in the world and, like, going to clubs and parties with my friends and shit. But at the same time, there is just too much history of manipulation with faulty drugs for me to feel confident that putting this needle in my body is just going to be an A-OK decision.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, especially with those reports of them giving shit for free to all the HBCUs. It's like, this is not free. This is not free. Everyone be suspicious. Be suspicious. Why are you going to give all these black college students? Again, Boston. There's a lot of colleges in Boston.
Right. You don't have to give it to the Harvard kids. Give it to the lesser colleges. You've got all these UMasses around there that you could clearly give this drug to.
Now, Langston, you keep taking what I'm saying and you twist it so that I'm going to get in trouble.
Listen, I think what Tawny's trying to say is give it to the white pores.
Wait.
She's being very clear, and I'm not manipulating this at all. She is articulating herself perfectly. I am merely backing her up. I'm a pip. She's Gladys Knight. This is a clear conversation.
Wait, were you really a pip? For
our listeners, we were in Sherman Showcase, a wonderful show on Hulu now, IFC and Hulu, and you played Diana Ross.
Yes, you were Smokey, right?
I was Smokey Robinson, that's right.
Perfect.
And I was constantly wavering between making a full commitment to a Smokey Robinson voice or just letting my regular voice be. Because, you know, when you're doing a character, it's like, okay, am I going to be fully in the character and do like a Jay Farrow impression? Or am I just going to like be funny by my, you know, in my own voice as is?
I think we were all like 1 foot in and out of the full commitment on that.
I will say I was truly stunned in the most impressed possible way with your Diana Ross impression. It felt
thank you. I feel like I was doing amazing. The same thing as you. I was like doing the breathy voice and the wispy walk, and then every now and then I'd just be like, man, fuck this. I was like, oh, that's just that's just me. Whoops.
Oh boy. Okay. Talk to me about where you first became aware of this conspiracy theory. When did first come to your world, if you will?
So I was in college in Chicago and I didn't have any money and I didn't have any health insurance and I needed to go for my yearly like pap smear. And so I went to this really cool clinic. I don't know if they're still in business, but they were called the Chicago Women's Health Center. And everybody on campus knew about them because you could go and they had like a sliding scale office visit. So you could show up and pay $0. You could pay $40, whatever. And everyone, it was a really cool resource. I used them a lot when I didn't have insurance. They would sit there with you for an hour and talk to you. Every appointment was like an hour, I feel like. And they would talk to you about all your birth control options. They would talk to you about health stuff. They just like took away the stigma about talking about those things. So
I got you.
I went to them and I was looking for, I wasn't even looking for birth control, but they were like, oh, well, if you're active, do you want to get on some? And I was like, sure, I've never really taken it before. And they were like, well, why don't you research some and come back? So I did like super cursory research and came back. And I think I pitched you doing one of the shots, like the Depo-Provera or whatever its later incarnations were.
Because you went in and you were like, give me the most dangerous one, please.
Yeah, truly, because I think, and I might be mixing them up. It's been a long time since I've thought about these old school like birth control methods. But I think that was the one that you just took the shot like 3 or 4 times a year. And you like didn't get a cycle. You didn't have a period. And so I was like, oh, I want that. I want my life to stop being fucked up once a month.
And I'm trying to be a gymnast from now on. Let's do that one.
Exactly. Just like get me on the high beam. Yeah. But so this woman like straight up sat me down and was like, let me tell you the shady past with this stuff and blah, blah. And like, walked me through everything. And I thought, I have never heard a healthcare provider. I'm sure there are great doctors who do that now, but I've never heard a healthcare provider straight up be like, okay, you don't want this drug, and it's for like social, political, fucked up reasons, as opposed to just maybe try orthotricycline instead. It's better for your height and weight or whatever. So ever since then, I was like, oh shit, this, and they're doing it to Black people? And then I think I just extrapolated from there, or like went down a YouTube rabbit hole or something, I'm sure.
Right. I don't think I've ever had a medical professional do that either. Like, that's a pretty bold choice on their end to be like, yo, not only is this potentially dangerous to your body, but also think about all these people that they tested it on, or the ways that this drug came to be. That's not a conversation that I think medical professionals are wanting to have, certainly even having.
They're probably not supposed to do that. I mean, like, I don't know how like pharma sales works and shit, but like, I guess because they were like a hippie free clinic, they could do whatever they wanted. But you
know. I do love the idea that there's some dude from Big Pharma like waiting in her office after she talks to you. Just like, Diane, I heard what you said in there.
She's like, I can't help myself. I gotta tell them about it.
What did we talk about, Diane? Oh, sorry.
I like that guy hangs out in her office just waiting to scold her. He's like, you told him our big secret again, Diane.
Yeah, he's not like a good, sinister dude. He's just like a clumsy boss who's like, come on, you said you wouldn't tell.
Now he's sweet. Now I think
he's a good, honestly, he's a good guy, except for the fact that he works for a billion-dollar murder corporation. Everything else about him is he's solid dude. Yep. Okay, so you hear this. You go to this office. She breaks it all down for you. And obviously you say, okay, cool, I'm not going to take that one. Do you then go back and like find yourself in like a YouTube rabbit hole where you're like discovering all this truth? Or are you just like, okay, that's information, and now I'm going to go about my day?
I'm struggling to remember because this was probably like 2004. This is a long time ago. But I think I probably heard enough to be like, oh, they tested on people and that's fucked up. I probably went one step further with the Google into like, you know, Hotep tree, the Venn diagram of like Hotep conspiracy theories that also aligns with like white women kind of UCLA reproductive health hippie ladies can sometimes get very, very like a one circle. And
there's probably a crossover between Dr. Umar Johnson and Goop somewhere. There's like a Venn diagram where they meet, you know,
for sure. There's all a little bit of like pseudoscience, but it's because there's an oppressor, you know? So, yeah, I think I went one layer deep. And saw, you know, got to the point of like, and they're doing this intentionally in order to sterilize and control the population. And I just went, yeah, that's truth. And I just accepted it as truth, as though that medical professional had told me that part, when she definitely did not.
I got you. That's where you were like, I got this, doc.
Yeah.
I'll take it from here. I got enough information to now make some much bigger conclusions from everything that you've said.
Absolutely. Oh, and I'm sure I've passed it off on a podcast or something, just like it's accepted fact. Like, I think the line for me got blurred long ago, and it's probably not until we decided to talk about this that I really thought about, like, wait, what's the part that I actually heard? And what's the part that I like read in comments on like a
turns out
newspaper
that doctor,
post?
That doctor wasn't irresponsible at all. It was me. I was the monster in this whole story.
Yeah, I guess I did hand out flyers saying this is fact.
I did start my campus's anti-birth control organization, but otherwise, I think I handled it pretty well.
And see, that is where it goes full Hotep, right? Is where it's like, then it becomes, don't take any birth control because it's all here to sterilize you. It's all the white man trying to sterilize Black women.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it just fully then goes away from like feminism and like body autonomy. To have like men telling us not to take birth control because of like made up race shit.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I certainly heard it for years, was that one of the counter arguments for Planned Parenthood that I always heard that was specifically from Black people was that Planned Parenthood was an organization spawned from eugenics.
Yep.
That this was like an organization built by a person who intentionally wanted to like sterilize the Black and brown communities.
Yeah. Have you gone into that one ever on the show, or have you looked into that one?
We have not. No, but I'm excited to dig into it if you got some thoughts on it.
I don't have any real vetted thoughts, but what's interesting, I always heard that too. And now as like a grown thinking person, my brain goes two ways. And I could have learned this with a simple Google, I'm sure. I did not do that, dear listener. So sorry. It could be that someone who was a believer in eugenics, even a proponent of it, was there at the start of Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And then the organization turned into what we know it as now, which is just healthcare for women and people who can't get pregnant. But the other part of my brain goes, so if this isn't true at all, if there was no one involved in eugenics, the point of this conspiracy theory, like the reason things like this get seeded now on Reddit and places like that, but back in the day, the reason why these things get floated around to the Black community is to push the anti-choice agenda, is to push the idea that abortion is bad, you know, choice is bad because it's, you know, spawned from Planned Parenthood, which is trying to sterilize us. And we know that Black people are a faith-filled group of people in general. So the idea of pushing the anti-choice agenda, and that all ties back to, I will never not say this, it all ties back to the fact that when people who can get pregnant have children that are unplanned at an early age or at an unplanned time in their life, they are significantly less likely to pursue higher education, pursue advanced careers, and they are way more likely to vote GOP. So there is nothing about it that is, oh, we have to save a life, the fetus, it's a life. It is strictly a way to funnel people out of education, out of the workforce, and into the cold, dead, stupid arms of the GOP.
Yeah, I think to your point, there is so much of it that is just rooted in intentional manipulation. And so even if there was some person that was a part of the conception of Planned Parenthood that did have eugenics ideals, right? They're not involved anymore. They're not like leading the charge for what Planned Parenthood represents. And so it's no different than when the fucking like Republicans go, you know, Abe Lincoln was a Republican.
Right.
It's like, yeah, motherfucker, but y'all wasn't rocking with the same politics. You just had the same title and that title changed. You know, the Democrats were the ones that were in charge of slavery. And it's like, yeah, but they like a different kind of slavery now. Relax. Yeah.
It's flavored different. Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's like, even if that person was involved, and again, I could have Googled this. I didn't. If there was someone involved early on, the net good that an organization like Planned Parenthood has done now far outweighs whoever fucking started it. And like, yeah, population control in that way has not been proven. I'm far more likely to believe this type of shit is more what's proven because it's not happening on our soil.
Right.
That, I mean, maybe they're testing.
Oh, we'll get into that. But I will say that to your point, it is a lot easier for them to get away with these things in spaces where we're less willing to check or even less willing to care than like right in front of us. And you could argue that right in front of us is super subjective because they don't give a fuck about the neighborhoods that are like legit adjacent to the ones that they live in. But that's a different layer of the conversation. I think to your ultimate point, the want is manipulation. It is completely to control and trick and take advantage of the groups of people that they're telling this somewhat false information to.
Yeah, so I have you on my side then. You believe my conspiracy.
Oh, first of all, let me be clear. I believe almost every conspiracy theory, and you are not special. I was bought in before you even got into it, but I will say you have done a phenomenal job of selling me in a reasonable way that makes me believe it for good reason and not just because I'm a defiant human being.
Oh, yes. I love that. I love when, I love when I can win over someone rooted in ridiculousness.
Sure.
That, I love it.
I love when I get a cartoon character to agree with me. Oh, what a dream. Let me ask you this last question before we go to break. You've talked about the injection and specifically like getting this information from this medical professional, going back and saying, I no longer plan to, you know, get at least this version of birth control. Did that taint your relationship with birth control from that point forward? Were you then like wary of all birth control? Were you like, nah, just that one. I'm good. I'm gonna chill.
Oh, no, you're right. It totally made my brain spiral and go, this is just the shit we know about. This is just the shit they're telling us. And it made me go, all this shit is fucked up. They're trying to sterilize all of us. Like, it definitely made me paranoid. And I did end up using a couple different types throughout my life. But, like, I would be lying if I said I didn't still. Every time there's a new ad for some new birth control, I'm like, where'd that come from? Where'd they test that out? What's the secret behind that one? So I'm damaged.
I love that. I love the idea of you watching those commercials where it's some lady playing in the park because she ain't got a baby. She gets to be as free as she wants to be. And you're just like, nah, there's some sinister shit going on here.
Nah, what happened in Swaziland, though? What'd they do in Swaziland? Mm-mm. I don't trust it. I guess we should be doing that for all drugs, though. Like, fuck drugs, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true. That should be the instinct in watching every single drug commercial. Too many of these commercials are literally just a list of horrifying things that will happen to your body. And we're just like, well, I don't know. I guess if it's going to make me smile a little more than I smiled yesterday, I'll take some diarrhea. You know, I'll take a little diarrhea if it means I'm going to smile while I eat my Cheerios instead of be all frowny and stuff.
Oh, God. Just, yeah, torso numbness. That doesn't seem so bad for most of the day. I don't need a torso to feel.
I can't feel my middle section, but goddamn, do I smile. You can wipe the feeling out of my body, but you can't wipe this smile off of my face. Thank you. No. Drug.
Smile Vera.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more Tawny Newsom and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
How is my man supposed to schmeat his meat with this shit, bro? What the fuck?
Hell yeah, we're back here with more Tawny Newsom, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the risk, the danger, the sinister work that birth control and the operators of birth control are doing in the background, potentially sterilizing entire nations of people, entire continents of people. So besides, was it Zimbabwe that you said was where they initially...
I can't remember if that was Norplant or Depo-Provera, but it was in the 70s and it was when it was called Rhodesia. And that's where they were like really coercing women to like, hey, try this new thing.
Were there other nations where you were hearing that a similar thing was happening, or was it just there?
No, but I do feel like anytime I have a really close friend who works in reproductive health, and I feel like she's been in this field for a long time. And so if I mention these things like in a stupid, flippant way, she speaks about them in a casual, very knowledge-filled way where she's just like, oh, yeah. I mean, well, of course, the thing that happened in Kenya. And I'm always kind of like, yeah. So I pretend to know, but I don't actually know. But I do get a sense that there are multiple accounts of drug trials like this from a lot of different countries.
There are. And this brings us, I think, in a very smooth, not at all set up way to the research that I did. And I'm so glad that you mentioned Kenya, because Kenya is, in fact, one of the places where, at least in the research that I did, it seems that a very sinister effort was made on the part of not only like the government, as it were, but like the World Health Organization and the United Nations seem to like team up on some like super friend shit to try to just basically test and ruin the lives of these Kenyan women.
Oh, shit. See, I definitely did not know this. And I said Kenya, like just taking a shot in at the dartboard of Africa. And look
well,
at that.
Sister, you nailed it. You got it. You did it. It was the correct answer for either giraffes or birth control trials on women that lead to sterilization. Those were your two options. So I'll run you through what I found. In the early 90s, researchers figured out that basically by mixing these two drugs, this human chorionic gonadotropin, I don't know words, with a tetanus shot, they created a permanent sterilization for women under the guise of like an effective tetanus vaccine. That like they could fake a tetanus vaccine and then simultaneously sterilize a lady at the exact same time. And so they took this vaccine. The United Nations and the World Health Organization teamed up and they took this vaccine to basically be carried out in Mexico in 1993, the Philippines and Nicaragua in 1994, and then Peru in 1995. And so one of the things that was sort of an issue with this vaccine, even though it worked effectively to sterilize these women, it took 5 shots to do it, which is a big ask in a developing country to ask women to come back for 5 separate shots over the course of 6 months. But they figured out a way to promote tetanus vaccines in the country to be like, you got to get a tetanus vaccine. This is a big deal. Tetanus is everywhere, blah, blah, blah.
There's rusty metal shit everywhere. Look around
Look at all this metal. You're going to get cut. You got to come get this vaccine.
You got to.
And so they're promoting this and women are going to get it. And the only reason they got caught is because doctors, like local doctors, much like the one that stepped in your life, were like, yo, the normal tetanus vaccine only takes 2 to 3 shots. Why are y'all asking them to take 5 shots for an otherwise similar vaccine? And so then the World Health Organization and the United Nations like packed up their shit and were like, oh, I don't know what happened. Bye. And just left.
Oh, my God. So this is real. This is not even a conspiracy. This is a real. These are facts.
These are 100% facts. And so here's where it gets even crazier, because that's happening in the early to mid 90s, right? Peru is the last one. That's 1995. Now, in 2014, the World Health Organization and United Nations team up again to do the exact same thing in Kenya. No. They go to Kenya to basically replicate, to bring it back. Like they, you know, they're bringing back the Fresh Prince. They're bringing back this tetanus trial. And they go to Kenya to try it out again. And the only reason, again, they get caught is because a bunch of Kenyan officials are like, nope, there's a history with y'all. Look, we're all for like helping our people and getting them vaccinated and healthy and blah, blah, blah. But whatever you're doing, it ain't sitting right with us. And they get exposed.
This is why it's a slippery slope to becoming an anti-vaxxer, because it's just one more click over to wild thought land to be like, well, you can't trust any vaccine then. They're all trying to do something nefarious, right? Like, how do you maintain a sensible brain when nefarious shit like this is going on?
Sure. And so here's where it's going to make you even more of an anti-vaxxer if you weren't already.
Again, I am not an anti-vaxxer. The pulled quotes from this episode are going to kill my career.
Tawny, everything you said has been clear. You're opposed to vaccines. Jenny McCarthy is your favorite actress.
I'm so
Everything you said.
My publicist is calling me right now. Are you live streaming this? Okay, so what happened next? God.
So it's not so much next, but it's actually more of the history of this type of sterilization in America. That like this is not the foreign sort of like dangerous thing for other countries that we've been sort of like framing it as. It's 100% something that has been happening in America and continues to happen in America. Beginning in 1909 and continuing through the 1970s, the U.S. developed a number of something basically called asexualization acts, which led to more than 20,000 sterilizations in California alone. Just California. These are actual laws being created.
What's the end game? Was it racially motivated? Were they trying to control certain aspects of the population or just population control in general?
It absolutely was a form of population control. And I think what you're asking is an important one, but it was rooted in sort of like getting rid of what they basically considered traits that were not ideal in human beings. Okay. So like, it's a form of eugenics, but it was like basically saying this type of person tends to be more violent or less hardworking or less of an asset to the human experience. And therefore, we will control their population and not allow them to have more children.
And got it.
Obviously, who they picked was more often than not Black and brown people.
Sure, because they're like, okay, so we just want a collection of really great traits for the human race.
Yep.
So let's not have any, like, what is it, like, wide noses or, like, you know, like, full lips. Like, kinky hair is definitely not going to take us to victory as a human race. Okay. What is that? Like, just ban black people. So many different words for just...
I don't want to pick a race. That's not my style.
No. It's not about race.
Certain things I like and certain things that I think are just more important than other
things. Yeah, more hireable, you know? Like, I just think like very fair, just very burnable skin. Just skin that can't even hear about the sun, I think is... the most professional.
So what makes it even more fascinating is that in 1927, one of the reasons that this became like a big deal is that in 1927, this lady, Carrie Buck, who's this poor white lady in Virginia, is sterilized under a new law that the Virginia government approves. The reason they sterilized Carrie is that Carrie's mother had been involuntary institutionalized for being what they called basically promiscuous and crazy. Like, they were basically calling her like a loose nutcase. and Carrie was assumed to have inherited those exact same traits and was sterilized after giving birth. That they were like... Your mom was wild. We can't risk the chance of you being wild. We gonna cut that off.
Oh my God. We're passing a law called an end to the crazy fast bitches. no more. If you crazy and you fast, you can't have children anymore. We're gonna take out your uterus.
Hold on now. Them titties out and you talking a little wild. We might have to sterilize you. We might have to put you down.
Every uncle in that state voted for this.
Of course. This,
just every uncle.
And you know there's something sick in them where it was not only did they want to sterilize them to keep them from reproducing, but it also was like, also I'm trying to fuck and not have any repercussions. I'm trying to bust the nut and it not have any risk on the other end of like being punished by having some baby with a crazy lady.
And we were worried this topic would be too dark, but we're doing great. We're doing great.
Yeah, we're killing it. I'm so proud of us. Let's see how long we can maintain this because it keeps getting darker. Now, in this same period, between the 1920s and the 1970s, this Supreme Court case, the one with Carrie Buck, led because she loses the case, right? She basically like complains that, hey, this is fucked up. I should have never been sterilized, and takes it all the way to the Supreme Court and loses. And then that case basically like solidifies this law into place and leads to the sterilization of 65,000 Americans with mental health illnesses and developmental disabilities from the 1920s to the 1970s.
I can't even process that.
65,000 people, all because this lady's mom had a hard time. And she had a baby who wasn't having a hard time, who was fine.
Who was fine. And they thought that shit was genetic. They thought, like, what was surely just the pressures and stressors of the time, of being a woman in the time and being poor, that made her run her mouth, probably.
Yeah.
They thought that that shit was genetic. Oof. Exactly. Oh, my God. I would have been murdered. I couldn't be from the past. If I lived in the past, they would have killed my ass so fast.
I couldn't be from the past is maybe my favorite quote anybody's ever said out loud. Hey, dog, I couldn't be from the past.
Not me. No. They would murder me, like real murder.
Oh, man. This is where it gets even crazier, is that there's also something called Mississippi appendectomies. Have you heard of a Mississippi appendectomy?
No.
Oh, of course not. It is not, is although it does sound delicious. It sounds like it's going to hit you in that spot that none of us know where it is in your body and like get you real fucked up. But a Mississippi appendectomy, and we've talked about this once before on the podcast, but a Mississippi appendectomy was a name for an unnecessary hysterectomy performed on black women specifically at teaching hospitals in the South. It like basically they were teaching medical students how to like do stuff as medical professionals and in the process also taking women's uteruses out.
Jesus. I know the answer to this, but did the women know? Were the women informed at all? Of course not. I don't know why I asked that. I needed to ask it and I don't know why.
I love the idea though that they sat her down and were like, Miss Johnson, I know you came in here to get your tonsils out, but we've got some other exciting opportunities that we're laying out for you. Is it optional? No, it is not, Ms. Johnson.
No, it is not. You're here.
We're going to take that uterus, but you should know before we do it.
Jesus. I mean, well, I don't know why I'm shocked. I mean, it's happening now. The story about the ICE detention centers where there are all these hysterectomies happening. And I think because I was already bought into the now not so conspiracy side of this conspiracy theory, you know, it's obviously so upsetting and horrifying, but I absolutely was not shocked to read it.
Like, yes, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, I'm not surprised, but damn, this hurts my heart. To your point, it's like a tragic thing because we want to believe that, like, okay, we worked through this shit. We got to a point where, like, at least as a civilization, we're not just going to steal women's uteruses in their sleep. If we're going to mistreat people, we'll do it when they're awake and they're at least, like, aware of what's happening to them. But no, it's quite the opposite. It's, like, very sinister, intentional shit that's been happening for hundreds of years.
That's fucking wild. Yeah, it's wild the way that we treat people who we don't think are ours, like, as a country. Mm-hmm. And that includes immigrants and people who aren't citizens, but also just, like, Black and brown people. Like, it is wild the fucking hoops and hoopla and nonsense, you know, the right will jump through to talk about unborn lives and protecting the poor and blah, blah. And it's just white people. Apparently, we just care about white people. And that's never 100%. Been more apparent.
Yes, it's not even kind of a conversation about, like, and part of the reason that even this lady, Carrie Buck, is a person in history is because she was a white woman who had this bad thing that was happening nationally to so many other women happen to her. If this was a Black woman, she doesn't even get to go to the Supreme Court about this shit. She just takes the L and you don't get no babies no more.
No more babies. No more. Part of your body. What a dark, what a dark, terrible topic I've chosen. I'm glad to not be so ignorant about it, though, and to be like, oh no, this shit is really happening. Okay.
I don't have a uterus. I never have, but I have to imagine getting it taken out. You're going to hear a little hollow, like, thong. You know what I mean? Like the dong when you hit a door and it's hollow. You hear that.
I've only ever had a tooth taken out. That's all that's been removed from my body forcibly. So I can't weigh in. I can't weigh in.
So here's where it gets even darker.
No!
As if you needed more darkness. It is estimated that 25 to 50% of Native American women were sterilized between 1970 and 1976. 6 years.
I feel like I did hear about this now. I feel like I've been hearing murmurs about this, but tell me the details because I obviously don't know.
I don't think I know many details either, but I think it just in the same way that, you know, smallpox was an intentional murdering off of people. I think that there was an effective plan put in place to sterilize Native American women across this nation, so much so that they got half of them. Which would answer the question of why the population, amongst a plethora of other reasons, why the population of these Native American groups continues to shrink and disappear across our country.
Right. Along with, like, improper access to just basic health care.
Exactly.
Them. I know that's a massive problem. Do you feel like, I'm sure you've talked about this on the pod before, but the whole adage of, like, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Do you feel like for Black and brown people, especially, there's often no line, there's no clear line between which of these things are wild ass conspiracies and because of the wild ass shit that has been done to us and people like us?
Yes. And I know I was being silly in the last segment, but I do think that that's part of the reason I'm so immediately bought in on so many conspiracy theories is not because I genuinely believe that, like, there's a guy up in a scary tower who's twiddling his fingers and thinking about evil shit to do to us. But I do think that so much of the way that our society is built is on sinister shit that people thought was effective or efficient or whatever it was. And so now it can't be uncooked from the way that we treat people or the way that we interact with communities, right? So, like, you don't get to steal away the ability to procreate for half of an entire species of people and then treat them like human beings, right? You can't do that and then go back and be like, all right, we're good. We're square.
Yeah, everything's normal now. We learned.
Yeah. What did you learn? You effectively, you know, wiped them out. Yeah. So there is no learning, which means you'll continue to mistreat them or continue to do something awful to them, because what the fuck else are you going to do?
Yeah. And I mean, and now I'm sitting here spinning about why, you know, I mean, in Black culture, there's such a weight placed on like knowledge and keeping a sharp eye and like, mm-hmm. you know, don't be caught slipping, like don't, you know, not being caught off guard by tricks like this and by things like
yes.
this.
Okay, I'll tell you one more sad thing, and then we'll maybe have a breath. We'll get to take a second away from all of this heavy shit. And I should say, before I tell you this final thing, I did not have nearly enough time to be able to dig into all of the examples of sterilization that have happened nationally, internationally, any of that stuff. But sure. one of the final things, and I think it would be unfair to talk about sterilization without bringing up Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico apparently is known and it's understood to be the most sterilized place on this planet Earth. That like really? Nowhere else has suffered from sterilization more than Puerto Rico. And between the 1930s to the 1970s, Puerto Rico had nearly one third of its female population sterilized. One third of the entire island was sterilized. By, I presume, just a bunch of different governments and people coming in and being like, nope, we don't like y'all. Y'all dumb as hell. Y'all ugly. We gonna sterilize you.
Y'all ugly. I wonder if it was drug trials again or if it was just straight up like no artifice at all. Just like come in here to get sterilized. You have no choice.
I have to imagine that it was a combination of all of the above. That it's like this became in much in the way that like New Mexico becomes the testing ground for our bombs. Mm-hmm. Like this just becomes like the testing ground for all the things that we decide we want to do, both, you know, in our own backyards and across other countries. It's like you got this little island filled with brown people who nobody otherwise gives a fuck about. We'll do whatever we want to them.
God damn. Man, I said before I couldn't be from the past. I don't think I can be from now. I'm having a hard time being from now.
Listen, I don't want to be from the future, which is a complicated place to be in as a person who's going to keep living. I have to keep living, but I don't want to be a part of none of this shit. It's wild.
We should both not exist. That's the only way to cure these feelings.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to plot how we end our lives, and we'll be back with more Johnny Newsom and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. And we're back. We're back here with more Tawny Newsom, more My Mama Told Me. I love the look on everyone's face when they realize that that's not the same song that they thought it was going to be. And it turns into something else.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to follow it. Did a man fall down a deep well?
I asked our wonderful producer, Nick, to blend the baby song from Justin Bieber that everybody loves with a clip from Intervention, where a man basically has a full breakdown because his son admits to him that he feels like their relationship is permanently damaged. And that is the actual sounds of a 50-year-old man crying out loud.
Mashed up with a 14-year-old man on the precipice of something great. Wow.
Yep.
It's a classic mashup.
Or, you know, showing his dick to us a lot. It depends on how you want to look at Justin Bieber.
I don't think I was aware of the new phase of the Biebs. I did not know.
Oh, you didn't know B? Yeah, his penis is out a lot. Now he loves Jesus and having his penis out. But before, there was a phase where he was just peeing outside and sending out dick pics. He had a wild, wild middle.
I don't like either one of those, and I would encourage him to find something in between the two.
That's fair. And if I ever get the chance to talk to him, I'll let him know that you don't care for it at all.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I would love to play a game. I have a fun game planned for us, and it's a game that I like to call White Lies.
Ugly, you are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
White Lies. This is a fun game where I am going to introduce to you a very standard, sort of widely accepted white conspiracy theory, one that white people tend to believe in. And what I would like for you to do is unpack why you think this conspiracy theory is so important to white people. What are these sneaky motherfuckers up to? Do you know what I mean?
I do. Okay. I can't wait.
The conspiracy theory that I'm going to present to you, and this one similarly is a little heavy and a little rooted in truth. The conspiracy theory that exists right now, maybe you've heard that Yellowstone is actually a giant supervolcano. Yellowstone Park, as we know it, is in fact a giant supervolcano that, if it were to explode, would wipe out all of like the United States and possibly all of North America. It's massive and it could go off at any moment. Have you heard that before?
I have not. Why would they hide it being a super? Okay. All right.
Okay. It is that. Part is not the conspiracy theory. That is 100% true. It is
right. That's what I mean. Like, it has geysers and like we know that it has volcanic activity, right?
Yes, exactly. And it hasn't exploded for a very, very long time, but in theory it could explode at any moment and we would all perish. Now, here's where the conspiracy comes in, is that some people believe that the government is fully aware of the exact day and time that this geyser, this giant volcano, whatever you want to call it, is going to blow. And they are intentionally planning basically ways to protect themselves in this, they being this sort of like royal they, if you will, and leaving the whole of America, the population, to die in the ash that is left behind. My question for you, why do you think it's so important for white people to believe that the government knows when this explosion is meant to happen?
Okay, thank you. My time starts now. Thank you very much. I think it's important for white people to know the exact date of when the volcano is going to erupt because white people always want an exact time and date for everything. You cannot put them on hold on like a customer service call without saying like, we will get to you in 3 to 6 minutes. And goddamn, if it's 2 minutes or 8 minutes, there's going to be a nasty comment card filled out. So they want a predictable, because don't leave a white person waiting, even if it's for the end of the world, even if it's for the death of them and everyone they've ever met. They want to know exactly when. And they believe it's their right to know. Whereas, I mean, black people haven't been told shit ever. I mean, as soon as the boats picked us up, they didn't tell us anything. And that's been a theme.
They weren't like, hey, we're going to be there in 16 days, y'all. So, yeah.
They didn't blow a horn and say, 10 minutes before we leave. No, we have never known the time. That's why we are never late. We are never late. Even if we're late, we're not late. No one told us.
And that's if you ain't tell us the time the first time, we've been recalibrating from the original time you fucked up on us.
You never.
That's why black
us.
People are late all the time, because you didn't tell us when we were leaving the first time from Africa. So now we just trying to catch back up from that original fucked up date and time.
Thank you. We showed up to a country that was already started that we didn't know. So we showed up late. We were late to the very first America meeting. And then y'all tried to act like we fucked up when we didn't even know we were coming here. So you know what? White people always want to know when shit is happening because they believe that is their God-given right. Because they started this country on their time. And everything happens on their time.
I love that. That goddamn, that's beautiful.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. Fucking you know nothing about that.
Yeah, I love that. You know why? Because I think there's so much truth in that. I think that there's so much evidence. Even now, we're in the middle of what I would argue is one of the scariest times that I've ever heard of, at least in terms of our like existence as a species on this planet. And white people are still going to Karen their way through it. They're still going to shake their heads and complain to a manager about the apocalypse, that like the apocalypse is happening and you still are unsatisfied with the way that the apocalypse is happening and the timing that it all falls into.
Yep, exactly. Because truly, like, I mean, and this is serious. Like before, you know, I got to be on my little Farrakhan-esque soapbox, but like seriously, like wanting to know when and how and where things happen. It's all just a means of seizing control. And I know this because I'm a very controlling person, and you and I are in a business where we have no control. So this business constantly tests us and pulls us and yanks us around. And when you are a controlling person, or let's say when you are a controlling class of people, when you're a controlling demographic, because you have been given all of the control for centuries on the whole ass globe, when you are not, when you don't have control over when or how or where something's going to happen, that is deeply like anxiety producing. So of course, white people want to know when the volcano is going to blow up. Like, that's real.
This may in fact comfort some of our white listeners, is that it's not a shameful thing that that's your instinct, because it is cooked into your experience as a white person on this planet. You have only known control. Therefore, to not have it, even in the face of what is completely unpredictable, you get frustrated. And so you want to create a narrative where there is a secret person or secret entity that has control over this thing, because otherwise you are trapped, like all of us, at the whim of a god or a, you know, a fate, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, or just wild ass nature. That's terrifying, because it's chaotic, and yeah, it's science, but it's random. I mean, well, welcome to it, anyone who struggled with I mean, you ever want to see a real experiment, is to look, if you're in a supermarket and there's one long line for a cashier, look at the faces of the black people versus look at the white people. Like, truly, the white people will be shifting. They're uncomfortable. Black people have resigned ourselves to wait. Mm-hmm. We have been waiting.
Yes, we wait. And yes, we might cuss somebody out in the process of waiting.
Sure.
We might say some shit, but we more or less are going to wait our turn in that process. Whereas white people, I think, are constantly wanting to get out of the line to somehow find their way in a different place in the line, which is not how it ain't how it works.
No, and that's not how the volcano is going to work.
That's not how the volcano is going to work. I love that. Tawny, I think we did it. What a wonderful time. I had a great time talking to you.
I had a really fun time. This makes me want to like pull out all my, like, I want my glowing eyes. I want my kente cloth, my ankh earrings. I want to go full ass Hotep and just like dive with you into all the conspiracies. So
listen,
I'm jealous
the next
of your
time
show.
I see you, I hope that's what you're wearing. I pray to God that you have on the whole garb so that we can have a more effective conversation together. And I promise I won't wear tie-dye so that I will match your same energy.
Oh, I love it.
Can you tell the people where they can find you, what cool stuff you have going on?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Trondi Newman, or you can just type my real name in there and you'll find me, Tawny Newsome. Mm-hmm. The cool stuff I have going on is I wrote, recorded, and engineered a new album of music, and I did that all during the pandemic. Yeah, it's me and another black woman, my friend Bethany Thomas from Chicago. We've been singing together forever. And yeah, in the middle of the summer, she just drove her ass out to my house in the desert out here in L.A. And we made a big, loud black lady punk record that we never would have had time to do if the world hadn't shut down. So if you want to buy that, that can be found. There's a link in my Instagram bio, or you can go to tawnyandbethany.com. The pre-order is on Bandcamp for vinyl and stuff, but and digital. But it'll be out everywhere, like for streaming and stuff, on October 9th.
Dope. And what's it called? What's the project called?
We're just using our names. So we're just Tawny Newsome and Bethany Thomas. And our album is called Material Flats. It's kind of named after the weird hippie commune that I sort of have built for myself. So.
Okay. Hell yeah. I love that. What a great plug. I love that so much. I had no idea that you could sing and do all that cool shit. That's amazing. Well, now I'm jealous of you, and I resent you the same way I resent Nick Chambers. Anyway, you could follow me at Langston Kerman on all the social media platforms. Nobody else wants what I got. And
yes, they do.
Not my name. I'm the only one.
I think I'm the only one
on the planet. They're fine with my words and my face every once in a while, but they're not interested in my name. And then, please, if you have drops that you want to send us, if you have conspiracies that you think are valuable for us to be talking about on the show, we would love to hear from you. Send us voice memos, send us articles, send us bullshit. I will sift through all of it. You can send it to mymamapod mamapod@gmail.com. I believe, yes. Okay, Hans is saying I'm correct. It's mymamapod@gmail.com. Send it to me. I want to see this shit, and I promise that I might actually talk about it on the podcast. It's a promise that I maybe will do something. That is a guarantee that I might do some shit. Okay, I talk too much. Bye.
Bye.